This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Now, of course, we speak to the Deputy General Secretary, Nontubeko Luziko, and I'm joined right now. Nontubeko, welcome to Power 98.7.
Good evening, Denzel, and good evening to your listeners as well. Thank you for this opportunity that you have given the Federation.
Lovely stuff to see women being elected as well and standing up and saying, nah, put my name down. I know I'm going to be elected. Nontubeko, the conference itself, heading into it, of course, you know, I mean, as political parties and unions and every kind of organization would go into these kind of things, it's a contested space. So obviously you would have the kind of tensions, you would have kind of all of those dynamics heading into it. Would you, when you come out of it a couple of days later, and we'll talk of some of the dynamics, but when you come out of it as you have now, do you come out of it and do you see yourself stronger as a union that's only in its second elective conference?
Denzel, thank you. And let me also thank the fact that you are appreciating the outcomes of the Congress, where the Congress managed to elect four women leaders as their national office bearers and two males. I think this is the history in the books of trade unionism.
Yes.
I think the delegates were sober in what they are doing.
But sober in a practical sense.
yes. They don't say these things just to say them, but we saw they have practiced it.
No, obviously, I mean, that's one of the big outcomes of this conference is the fact that women, but it's more for me, Nontubeko, it's more that women put their names to be elected more than the conference itself electing people. You know, sometimes you don't have women because the assumption is that, you know, if you look at political parties and other spaces, these things are run and dominated by men. This here was an absolute characteristic to come out of this conference.
I can say that. I can fully agree. And when you check in terms of the gender percentage, you'll notice that women are always the majority in their nature. Mm. But it has been like that even in unions where the dominance is female. Mm. Like your catering industry, you still be surprised at how come it's being led by males, where you'll find out even in the nursing industry, the dominance there will be females, but in most cases we have experienced a leadership of males emanating. And you ask yourself, where are women? And at times, even when you check the percentage of the delegation, it tends to match the that one of males.
Let's ask Nontubeko, let's ask ourselves that question before we move on. Where are the women?
The women are there. Mm. The women are there, and the women are capable as much as males. But I think what is being created. The space has been created as if politics are for males and not for females. Mm. And now with this new tendency that is within the politics, if you notice now, everyone will go in leadership in terms of the slate, of which at this Congress that we are coming from, unfortunately, it was not like that. Mm. This one, the tree is coming from different perspective, and the tree is coming from the different perspective, which is something that we also appreciate. But normally in cases, the leadership will enter entirely based on the slate that if I choose Denzel and then I'll choose this one and this one. And then they'll start to say, okay, now we need females, because they start to identify the leaders without identifying that what do we want to achieve as an organization. Mm. Because my belief is that we should start to identify that what do we seek to achieve as an organization. Then you can start to identify a person who can drive us to where we want to be. So that's why then you'll hear these things that I cannot say that I 100% agree with the notion that always says 30% should be women. Why? Mm. To me, why? Because to me, it's a notion that says that by the way accommodation. We're being accommodated by
yes.
the way.
And it's but a forced me, accommodation.
Exactly. It's more like a forced accommodation. So to me, that's why I'm saying that women are there, but I think we have created a very strange culture within the politics, which is the culture of giving slaves and identifying leaders before we can identify the needs of the organization. Mm. Hence now we see ourselves sinking in the situations that we are, because we don't prioritize the organization, we prioritize individuals. Mm. And normally cases it will be males, and then after we have got identified these three or four males, we realize that the structure has got five or six people. Then we start to think, oh, by the way, we need to have we need to be gender sensitive. Mm. Then we get accommodated. Mm. I think that's where we are failing. If we can correct the way that we are identifying our leaders, that we first put the organization first, and then we start to identify the characters and the people that can drive the organization to where it has to be.
Nontumbeka, then let's get back to that first question then. The tensions, the debates, the disagreements, the placards. I saw those songs that were being sung inside the hall. You know, as well as Zimavavi trying at some point just to bring calm. You know, obviously it's an elective conference, and obviously you're going to have, like you said, you know, it comes with slates. Now people have been elected and you've got to get back into the ground and you've got to do your work. Mm. Do you find yourself in a stronger position because there were issues going into conference that were beginning to look as though they were going to divide the union, not just at conference, but the union itself? There were issues of you know, people who were now being reprimanded for various things. Vavi himself, there were questions around his reprimand. And so in all of that, it seemed as though there were issues within SAFTU itself heading into the conference, which then looked pretty tense within itself as well. Now you're out of it. Give us the picture you see now.
Let me first say this, Denzel. Mm. The reality of what you saw, we have accepted that it is a self-creation situation, because we created that ourselves. Because if you remember that we have been on the news for quite a number of not good things,
yes.
If I can put it like that. So they draw the attention of the media, and I think we have in the process agitated each other to a point that when we went there, because one, as you're saying, that the mentality was of a Congress. So mentality of a Congress is to defend and to gain something when you go there. I think all the slaves were going with the aim of defending and getting something.
Yes.
But now the Congress is over.
Yeah.
I think I agree now. Then what is next? Mm. I think, one, we need to move now to a reconciliatory mode, where we have to understand that the Congress has come and the Congress has passed, and we appreciate the fact that the reality is that it was even at the verge of collapsing.
Yes.
But it couldn't collapse. So then, as you are saying, that what next now? And one, I think that we are moving in a good direction. Mm-hmm. The fact that both slates were being accommodated, and they are accommodated in half, which is 53-1-3 on the other side. So to me, it means that there is a direction of reconciliating. And I think we did do a self-criticism in the Congress today, where we have said that now there is quite a huge responsibility in the current national office bearers that are serving in the organization. Mm. Because now we are left with the task of, after everything has been, it's like we're in a party. Now there is a mess of dirty dishes. Mm. We have to collect the spoons that are on the floor. It's just that mess of the after party. So I think each and everyone now, we are in that a responsibility of making sure that we clean up whatever that has happened, so that now, because the responsibility of the Federation is that, one, it should be attractive to members so that anyone should be identified with SAFTU. We have to erase what happened now so that SAFTU can be the future. So now we are planning now to have our first National Office Bearers meeting as soon as possible. We have not yet identified the date. But I can tell you after today, when we closed the session, we did manage to have quite some few minutes where we sat down and then we agreed that we need to meet and we need now to be the examples, because if we're not going to unite ourselves, I think we're going to see more of what we saw in the Congress, because those affiliates now, they must know that they are not enemies amongst each other. Mm. The enemy is the capital outside. Mm. So we need to unite. We need to work together into different campaigns and different programs. We need now to move with that old notion or that old understanding in trade unionism that says an injury to one is an injury to all, that we don't find comfort when others are on strike or when others are facing brutality in terms of employers and the others, they are busy working. So we're trying now to come up with programs, because this can only be the program that is going to unite us. We can say every other thing we want to say, but if we do not have something that brings us together so that we can have programs and campaigns that will unite us for one cause.
Let's get something out of the way, because in one of the reports that come out of the Congress is this, and the numbers, well, three from the one side and three from the other, and these are the slates. And then there's one report that suggests that in the negotiating phases there were some compromises done to get to a place where this was the situation, and it was managed in a sense to get to a place where, you know, it's an equal balance. Is that something that might have happened, where you know, different parties would begin to sit and down and say, okay, guys, can we look at it like this? Or was the electoral, you know, the Electoral Commission of South Africa and whoever stood, was it as per the ballot, or with some form of negotiations to get it to a place where actually you can see a balanced representation?
No, the reality of the matter is that at some point when we were deadlocking, because others were saying the former National Office Bearers that were suspended, they should not contest.
Yes.
And then others were saying that they should contest because their term has ended, by the way, because they were going to.
Yeah, I saw those statements, yes.
Yes, yes. So that's when then we said, I think the leadership, meaning that the general secretaries and the president, they need to engage, because we did not. And remember, there was a very sad thing that happened in the Congress, and it's so unfortunate it also happened that where we had to vote for the constitution. Mm. That must this national of the because I was part of the comrades that were elected to act initially. Mm. So now they said, must these comrades come back? So there was yes or no. We first had to vote for
yes.
them. So now we then said that we agreed that we don't want to go on a vote again that will say that must these former National Office Bearers participate or not.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The vote went against them.
No, that's why I'm saying it is a 3-3.
Yes.
The first vote went against them.
Yes.
So they say then if there was intervention of this leadership, the way the other group was saying they must not contest because they are on suspension. Mm. The other one is saying they must contest because even if they are on suspension, it's a term that has lapsed.
Mm. Yes.
So based on that agreement, we almost went on vote because we couldn't agree. Mm. But then we decided we had an agreement that let us not do that.
Yeah.
Everyone that is here is a leader. at some point we need to engage each other. But I think when we are engaging each other in a plenary, it's difficult because everyone has got everyone is their emotions. So it's better when the presidents and the general secretaries, they meet in a separate room. So I can say that that was the result of that, because others, at the end of the day, they had to concede. To concede on the basis that the interest was of the organization, because any decision, by the way, that is taken in the Congress, because Congress is the highest decision-making. It is a Congress that cannot be contested. It is a, it is a decision that cannot be contested. You cannot even litigate such a decision because you are at the highest decision-making, in which is the Congress. So, yes, there was an arrangement, I can put it like that, between the leaders, so that we can accommodate, we can have all these names together, but the delegates have to the people that want to choose, and finally the delegates decide to choose, and this is that's the leadership that they came up with, and I think I applaud the decision of the delegates, because as I'm saying that it's a 3-3. Meaning that even if one was not going to be happy, now to me it seems as if there is no one that cannot be happy, because it's a 50-50.
Yeah.
So both slates have been accommodated, because imagine the situation where one slate was not going to be accommodated. I'm sure there was going to be an element of not accepting the leadership that is going to be at place.
Mm. So
now at least there is a 50-50 accommodation. I think we should make peace with whatever that has happened, because I think I said when I was talking jokingly that I think God is saying that at the end of the day you have to work together.
My next question is exactly that. I'm going to start with this, and I'm going to say, are you united now? If you have had some form of meeting as the leadership, was it that you said your first office bearers meeting must still happen? You need to call that, or has that happened?
No, we did not call that. Because we just
so you must still have that.
We must still have that.
Right.
But as from after the Congress, before it was closed, there was an assessment that was done by the delegates. I can assure you that everyone that was speaking, it was like they were rehearsing. They will just congratulate the new leadership, and everyone was talking that we should unite. So there is not even a fear of any union that might leave.
Okay, because there was that threat. I mean, it was made from the stage as well to say we will walk out of here and we will leave. So that element did hang over the Congress as well.
Yes, Denzel. There was such utterances of that others said that they are going to leave the Federation. Mm. So coming out of the Congress, each and every person that spoke, and I think all the unions that were there, each and every leader managed to have a time to speak. And as they were congratulating us, one thing that they wanted from us, one, is that we must unite the Federation.
Right.
And that, secondly, we must protect the Federation.
Mm.
So moving out of there, we've got that responsibility, all of us. So that's why I'm saying the first meeting of our National Office Bearers, I think we need to work on that how are we going to unite this? In fact, we need to unite ourselves first, because we can't go to the unions or to the affiliates and try and think that we are going to unite if we are not united ourselves. So we need to unite ourselves and then have something that will say, now then, how do we unite now our affiliates, so that they know that where they were, it was just a different of ideas. It was not like there is a battle or whatever. The battle is outside with the employers. But where we were in the Workers' Parliament, it was just a different ideas and a difference in terms of leadership preference.
And
Rebecca, it ended there. Yeah. We should close it there.
Sure. One of your big concerns, and this is, if I looked at it, and I look at it, would be dwindling membership, declining membership. Is that a concern that you have, and is it one of the priorities that the new leadership is to look at?
It is definitely one of our concerns, but I should say that there is a contributing factor of COVID, where
yes.
most people have lost their jobs, but now at least the business is back to normal. So our interest one, as you know, that most of staff to affiliate, they are startup unions. So we cannot be comfortable with quite a number of or with the size of the affiliates that are there.
Mm.
So one, we need to grow our membership.
Mm.
So that means when we grow the membership, we need to start to campaign. So we have agreed that we are going to start to campaign. We are going to have meetings where we will recommend that, or we will make sure that organizers of each and every affiliate, they are part of that meeting, so that because each sector is different. Where if you want to organize the police officers, cannot be the same when you want to organize truck drivers.
Mm.
So that's why we want to make sure that we've got provincial organizers or organizers of federation, so that of union, so that we can craft a program that will speak to that. But another serious thing that we have talked about was the paralegal officers in the unions, where there are unions that have got those paralegal officers, is to check the trend of the cases. If are cases that are referred, cases that must be referred in terms of their winnable cases, it's not frivolous cases that might have an impact in terms of recruitment, or that might have an impact in terms of workers not having confidence to the trade union, because we've got that responsibility now of, if you check, also there's a new trend where workers are slowly pulling out of trade unions. They don't see the need of trade unionism. So that's why now we want to bring the culture of trade unionism and speak more into youth and women, because those are other people that don't want to join. But mm-hmm. I must also say, Denzel, that it's not that we are saying that people don't want to join the union.
Sure.
We have also noticed the fact that there is also this thing of they are not permanently employed. So that
okay.
has got a factor in terms of, because one, when you count that person, you count the person as employed.
Yes.
But the employment is not a permanent one, which does not give that person a leverage or an opportunity to join a union.
Mm, mm.
So that's the other challenge that we are facing. And then on youth, we also identified that most companies, they mostly don't employ, but they use interns. So that's the other challenge that we are facing, that you can count them as they are employed, because they wake up and they report for duty, they come back, but they are used for just internship programs. So those are other things that we have to try and make sure that people get permanent employment,
mm.
so that they can be also a relevancy into joining the trade union.
Are these part of the critical decisions that you would have had in committees and or smaller breakaway groups that would have strategized the way forward? Or is there, apart from, you know, looking at advancing the union with membership, is there any other critical criteria that sits there that SAFTU needs to actually go and pay attention to, other than the declining membership? I mean, what would have come out as one of the biggest threats to SAFTU?
Currently, the biggest threat to SAFTU is the old unions, or the bigger unions, perceived bigger unions.
Yes.
That tends to block the new unions, which are from SAFTU, from bargaining councils. That is quite another major problem. That is why one of the other resolutions that we have taken, we have also agreed that we need to forge unity with the other federations, because some of these unions, they are coming from other federations, so that they understand the fact that we are not enemies to each other.
Mm.
The enemy is sitting down there with quite a big fat table, dinner table, that has everything that they want. And
yes.
you know, we are on here, on this side, we are busy fighting each other.
Mm.
So that is currently the most, because most of trade unions at SAFTU, they are not found in the bargaining council. Another critical part that we said we need to work on it is that if you know or if you can remember that SAFTU is not at NEDLAC. So that's the other serious challenge that we want to make sure that this current leadership does take, because with the previous leadership tried its best to take SAFTU to NEDLAC. So now this one must try and do their best. But as per the information that we've got is that currently, seemingly that now there are all necessary documents and the time, the I think there was a time factor that the NEDLAC also blocked us to say that you need to have 2 years in terms of before you can go there. So we at least we are in compliance with that and all other documents that they want. So now we want to make sure that we process the application to NEDLAC, because that's also one major thing that needs to be done speedily.
Nontobeko Luzipho, I want to say thank you so much. Congratulations on the election. Good for the women who came forward, put their names on the list and who got elected. It's absolutely a first within that space as well. So congratulations and thank you for coming to Power 98.7 and Power Perspective to have the chat and the conversation with us.
Thank you very much, Desmond. I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. And that, of course, is the SAFTU's Deputy General Secretary, Nontobeko Luzipho, talking to us there.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.